If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, a passage of Scripture I've come back to I don't know how many first Sundays of New Year's. If you don't like me preaching on the same thing, worry, I'm sorry, but I do it for my own benefit. I need to refresh my mind with this powerful Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, going through verse 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father, we pray that you will bless us as we continue in worship this morning. In this portion of our worship service, we pray that somehow that miracle will take place, that God will speak to each of our hearts at some time during this message. Speak to me, Lord, and speak to my mouth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's only one thing wrong, basically, with this text. And there is something wrong with it. And that thing is that it really has not been taken practically and seriously by enough people who profess to be people of faith. But if we put it into practice like its New Testament counterpart, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we will ask God to help us to make a serious and simple and practical application of this truth, I believe we can expect God to communicate with us and give us direction step by step for this new year. You have before you probably an outline. I want to look just briefly at the things that God has promised us in this text, and then look as closely as we can at the requirements for each aspect of his promise. In the first place, the promise is God will direct our paths. We certainly need guidance in this world in which we live. Only a fool would say, I have the wisdom, I have the intelligence myself to chart my course. I know where I'm going to be in 1981. I know how to get there. I know how to go. How many of us here this morning have found ourselves from time to time in dead-end situations, in places where we don't know which way to turn, and we say, if only God would call me up on the telephone, or if somehow I could go out and look in the sky and I could see handwriting there, if somehow God could communicate with me, I wish I knew what God really wanted me to do. And yet it says here that God wants to direct us, that God can direct us, that God will direct us. More and more I'm coming to believe, or to realize, I guess I've always believed it, but how the importance is zeroing into my mind, that God's sovereign will for me is not an option, even after I've given my heart to the Lord, even after I've been saved and sanctified. There is a narrow path of power along which God wants me to walk, his plan for my life. He has a plan for me. And I realize that plan may fall along the area of my desires. It may not. But there's a very real sense in which none of us can really come home until we come home to God's perfect will, God's specific will for our hearts and lives. And I wonder how many of us this morning are in the center of God's will. Maybe those of us that claim to be still would like to have the direction of God. We want to have Him say, that decision that's coming up soon, I want to guide you in that decision. Something about the agony of decision. Every pastor knows it when you get a call. Should I go or shouldn't I? And it's terrible. That's when you wish the Lord would call you up. And the DS is all too anxious to tell you what the will of the Lord is. So is everybody else in your pocketbook and all. That's when you really need to pray, Lord, I want to be guided. Well, we have some specific conditions here. God says, if you will, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. If you will, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Little condition. Big little condition. 100% commitment. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? I see two things here in this condition. Number one has to do with love. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And if our relationship with Jesus is anything, it's a love relationship. Some of us began in a very simple fashion, a one-to-one relation with Jesus. And then as we kind of walked along the way, maybe the simplicity or the personal relationship with Jesus kind of faded a little bit. We began to think of our faith as something that we think about or something that is a rule that we follow. But we need to come back to the fact that basically our relationship with God is a love relationship. And we need to maintain that love relationship. We need to cultivate the love one-to-one with Jesus. And I have the feeling that if some of us treated our dear loved ones here on earth the way we treat Jesus in this love relationship, we wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't believe us when we say, I love you. What kind of marriage would it be if you told your wife about once a week or once every 2 weeks in a kind of a perfunctory, gruff sort of way, I love you? Or maybe once every Sunday morning, you know, you said the words like we do to the Lord. I know I don't have to speak to some of you younger people about telling that special person, but wouldn't it be funny if you said, well, I'm in love with him or I'm in love with her, and yet you never showed any affection whatsoever? Of course, we have a problem the other way sometimes, I know. But when it comes to Jesus, we expect to be guided by Him. We expect to be at home in the center of His will when we do not take the time to tell Him, Lord, I really do love you. I want to get better acquainted with you. I want to be a friend of yours as well as a subject of yours. And it's important that if we want the guidance of God, that we maintain this love and trust relationship with God. Then the other side of trusting the Lord with all our heart has to do with obedience. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And I know I'm preaching simply, but I'm preaching to myself this morning as well. I desperately need the guidance of God from day to day. And so I want to be careful that in everything I do not dishonor His name. I don't think this means so much that God is concerned that I'm on my knees all the time or that I'm praying under my breath all the time. I don't believe God is interested in turning everything that we do into something that is like church. But He is trying to separate, to keep us from separating between that which is God's and that which is ours. And so we render to God just a portion of our life, and then the rest of our life we do as we please. But He's saying, if in all my ways I'm open to Him, that is, Lord, when I get down on my knees at night before I go to bed and say, Lord, if there's anything today that you want to change that was wrong, I won't do it anymore if you'll tell me. You guide me, you show me, in all my ways I want to acknowledge you. With an attitude like that, the promise is, he will direct my paths. I kind of like to think of it this way. I keep the ball in his court. And as long as I am acknowledging him and putting him first, then I march along that narrow path of power. I go the way I feel God would have me to go, and it's up to him to show me if I'm doing wrong. And he will, for he loves me, and he cares about me very much. Well, basically, that's my whole message in a nutshell right there in those fifth and sixth verses. And I think that could be a life verse whenever we want guidance from the Lord. But the writer of Proverbs here goes on to highlight and lift out some of these other aspects of guidance. And so, in expanding this concept of having God's guidance, he goes on to promise us health and vigor and resilience. In this kind of quaint King James English, he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And it's kind of hard for us to relate to those words, but what he's saying is that not only can we find the guidance of God, but we can find God's health and God's resilience and God's strength. God knows we need that from time to time. What a blessing it is to be healthy. It's great to be healthy in body. It's better to be healthy in mind. What a blessing a healthy mind is. Sometimes I wish I had one. And it's best of all to have soul health, to be like Jesus. And the promise is here, I will give you health, I will give you strength. But once again, there are some conditions too. And the conditions are, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If I want to have health and vigor in my experience with Christ, in my relationship with him, I not only acknowledge him in all my ways, but he goes on to say, I shouldn't be a know-it-all. One of the basic requirements for letting God speak to us is a sense of humility. I guess we've all been guilty at times of talking when we should be listening. And it's especially hard at times to listen for the voice of God because he doesn't speak to us usually in an audible voice. And yet God has ways of communicating. God has ways of getting his message through if we're patient enough and humble enough to listen. Instead of constantly analyzing and constantly criticizing and constantly explaining what's wrong, if we can get in the place of prayer and say, Lord, speak to me. I need you. I'm not that smart in my own eyes. God will get through to us. And then he goes on to expand on this concept of acknowledging Christ in all his ways. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's important that we make a clear break with sin. Declare war on sin. To have no fraternization with the enemy. And if I want to have power in my spiritual life, then I must be pure in my mind, in my thinking, in my actions. I must let God lead me out, away from the things of the world. I've heard standards preached, and I've heard people preach about holiness, and I felt like maybe their motivation was wrong. Why should we try to break from sin? I think one of the main reasons for being holy when I was young, at least I got that idea, was so that other people wouldn't think evil of me. I should be careful. People are watching me. And as I grew up, I kind of rejected that out of hand because I didn't care what people thought when they looked at me. I wanted to be what I was. And I respect you if you say, I don't want to just appear to be a goody-goody. I don't want to be separate just so that I can say, look at me, how holy I am. There are other reasons for making a break with the things of the world than just keeping a set of rules as well. I thank God for the manual. It's a guide. It's a help. And if we look at it as a tool to give us a sense of direction, it can be that. But I don't keep rules in order that the manual won't condemn me. But the more I see this and understand this concept, that if I depart from evil, if I am careful to do what is pleasing to God and shun the things that are questionable, then I will have a sense of strength and God will be able to get through to me and use me. And just at the time when someone is calling upon me and needs me, if I've been faithful, if I've departed from evil, not because of merit or works, but simply because of this fact here that if I will depart from evil, God will give me the strength that I need. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying this morning, but I'm trying to preach an old-fashioned standard, an old-fashioned way of walking with God day by day and moment by moment, no matter what the cost or what people think, but for the highest motivation, so that I can be strong in the Lord. I'm going to have to leave that and go on to the last. This last part I kind of hesitate to preach about because I begin to sound like some people on TV. God has said, if you'll do certain things, I will honor you. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. We need abundance. And there are many verses in the Bible that tell us that we can have abundance. And if we put them in the proper context, it's all right to preach abundance. But perhaps I ought to qualify what I'm saying this morning and say, if you're not a child of God, and if you're not walking in all the light that you have, you just turn your hearing aid down, because I'm not speaking to you for the rest of this sermon this morning. But this promise is to those who are God's children. God has said, not only will I give you guidance, not only will I give you health and vigor and abundance, but I will give you abundance in your life. I will give you that which is over and above. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Once again, there are the conditions to be met. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. You say, are you preaching something good is going to happen to you today? I want to tell you that's exactly what I'm preaching. For as we give God the first fruits, and as we say, Lord, this part, not as we don't say, this is my part and this is your part, but we say, all that I am is yours. And as we tell God in a practical way, lay your hands on my substance. Whatever it is that you want of mine is yours. As we make it his, we become partners with God. I will tell you frankly, I believe in storehouse tithing. I believe that when I get my pay, the top 10% goes to God. And I'm not going to tell you how else over and above that goes on. But I would challenge you this morning, if you're a child of God, if you belong to him, you say, you don't know how much I make, and I'm a student, and I'm struggling to pay my bill. I don't care this morning if you're a millionaire or if you don't have enough money to get by. If you will practice this, you're a child of God. God has saved you. And you believe he's your Savior, then this is for you. If you will take 10% of what you make and give it to the Lord and dedicate it to him and then tell him the rest is yours too, you guide me with it, God will bless you with abundance. It's his promise. He said, if you will do this, I will do that. Say, why do you believe in storehouse tithing, Pastor? Number one, I believe that when I give God His 10% and then dedicate the other 90%, which is His too, it makes me partners with God. If the wealthiest man in all the world came and talked to me and said, look, let's have a joint bank account. You put yours in, and I'll put mine in. Wouldn't take me too long to figure out whether or not I should do that, would you? And it says here that if I'll honor the Lord with my substance, that He would take care of all these other things too. Makes me partners with God. And then storehouse tithing keeps my values in perspective. I have a lot of things that make demands on my income. But since I learned storehouse tithing, there's no question about it. If I don't eat, I'll die. It looks like I've been eating pretty well, doesn't it? God takes care of those who keep their values in perspective. And when we honor God with our substance, when we let the faith filter down through our head and clear down into our hip pocket or wherever we keep our wallet, when it becomes that practical, you'll be surprised how it brings values into perspective. God help us to have a faith that goes beyond just talk. And then the third reason I believe in tithing is because I've seen it happen that when people begin to tithe, invariably they begin to grow spiritually. I used to preach tithing as a young pastor because I wanted to see the church finance correctly. When the church would begin to sag a little bit, I'd preach tithing. They need another tithing sermon. I quit preaching for that reason. You may not believe me, but it's the truth. But I preach tithing because I really honestly believe it's God's plan and purpose for your life. And because I want my people to be spiritual and I want them to be strong. And the last promise in this is if you will put me first in the substance of things, in the things of this world, I'll take care of you and make you abundant in the spiritual things. I'll take care of you. Do you believe that this morning? Well, forgive me for sharing an old message. I promise I won't preach it for 365 days. Come back next January and I'll preach it to you again. Dear Lord, thank you for the promise of your guidance, of your health, and of your abundance. Dismiss us, we pray now, with your blessing. In Christ's name, amen.